Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. And now, here's Rob.
Hey, it's me.
Oh,
good news, America. It's the last day of me without Mike. And you've, it's been America in crisis, and you made it through okay. We appreciate so much you tuning in. Mike will be back tomorrow for the bonus show, but I'm very pleased to be joined today by, I've told everybody this, but this week this is true. The first person we called as a guest host when we wanted to do this week was this gentleman, Rob Mayer. Rob, aww, thank you for joining us.
It's an honor. Thank you. Mike's coming back on a Friday. That's crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
Nobody comes back from vacation on a Friday.
Well, I don't know. He loves the bonus show. Well, because when he's with his family, he's not allowed to cuss. But he's allowed to cuss on the bonus show.
It can only last so long without cursing.
And new rule, no one's allowed to skip the bonus show.
No one. No one.
Josh is in charge now. Look out, people.
Yeah, he cracks the whip. Now, a lot of people come up to me and they say, Dave, who is Rob Mayer? And I say he's a comedian. He's a role model. Your words.
Yes, I like to think of myself as that way.
I thought
you should model it after me. Maybe model it not after me, but that's still, in a sense, a model.
Yeah, I agree. I found this in a small box on your website, robmayer.com, and I found it very intriguing that you call yourself a role model. You starred in the Washington, D.C. This is a small, curricula vitae of your
past. I hope it's accurate. I hope I haven't. It's not 17 years old. But go ahead.
No, I think it's right. You're currently starring in the show MASH.
Yes, you got that right. Yes.
That's not true. You were in the Washington, D.C. episode of Kevin Hart's Comedy Central show, Heart of the City. You are a Comedy Central Up Next competition semifinalist, and your Dry Bar comedy special was released in 2021. Your album, what was it, Comedy for the Quarantine, hit number one on the iTunes comedy charts. And I think what's very cool, you've taken a lot of time out to go overseas. You've entertained the troops, which you don't hear about that a lot anymore. I mean, it was a lot of people, I think, sort of assumed it died with Bob Hope, but you are carrying on the mantle. How
Rob
great
Hope,
is it when you
Rob
Hope when you go overseas and you do that? How rewarding is that? How great is that? And what countries have you been to? I think that's wild.
It's very rewarding because it's, you know, you do a show here and, you know, Friday, Saturday night.
Right.
Here in the U.S., it's not really an event. It's just their weekend. And obviously they want to have a good time and they paid and all that. And there's an expectation, but it doesn't have any real meaning, any significance. Whereas, you know, overseas, you know, done a lot of shows in Afghanistan. It's just anything that's sort of a taste of home that reminds them of home. Something that's different than their days are very monotonous. Just the
gotta be. Yeah.
And a lot of these places, just looking around, nothing. There's no color. There's no for purposely. You can't have any color. They don't want to be easily seen from the sky. So, and a lot of the terrain is just drab. So it's like, it's kind of a, and everyone's wearing the same uniform. So it can kind of just get the doldrums can set
in. I
imagine,
And
then to see somebody that's from home talking about the things that normal people talk about in their lives and kind of reminds them of that. And I feel like it's, you know, the course of, you want them to laugh and have a good time, but it's also, it is morale boosting. And that's, you know, and that's why they do it. And, you know, who knows how much that helps, but I know that it helps. Maybe it helps some people a little, but it helps people a lot. And there's no real morale boosting doing a comedy show here in Cleveland, Ohio. It's just they're having fun getting
I don't know. When I saw you last, I left feeling top of the world. I really did. Now, when you perform out there, do you wear red just to break it up a little bit?
Well, I remember doing Afghanistan, or actually it was Middle East all in August, that was not 10 years ago, but, you know, the hottest time. And I remember getting out of the airport in Abu Dhabi. And you know when you open an oven after you preheated it and it hits you. And this is at night, but the double doors open to leave the actual airport out into the to the land, and it hit you. And I'm like, it's 11:30 at night. How is this possible?
Yeah.
It was just amazing. So, you know, I'd wear my normal shirts that I'd pack, you know, normal button-up shirt. And then I was like, no, this is T-shirts. We're not even – nobody cares what you're dressed like.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times they'd give us shirts to wear. I was like, whatever's the most comfortable, that's what we're going to wear. Because we're trying not to sweat to death here.
I think it's amazing. Now, I can only, and again, it's because I've, you know, I've got the heart and soul of a 90-year-old man. Mm-hmm. I can only picture like the Bob Hope specials when I was a kid. Do you bring good-looking dames out there to dance for them or anything like Bob used to do and then threaten to leave them behind?
No.
No, you don't. So you're the eye candy.
That's me. Talking about my cold. Sorry about my eye candy. Yes.
And
yes.
But you know the old you come out and say, "Hey boys, I wanted to remind you what you were fighting for." So you don't get to use that joke anymore.
No, I mean there were some stock jokes that like cuz there's a lot of acronyms in the military and
right.
And I just, you know, the only ones I know are STD and DUI. The stupid jokes like that, you know.
They have to play great. They got to love it.
You learn a few things to joke about, and a lot of these places, there's not a lot, but to see how close they are to actual battle, there's either no drinking allowed or there's like a 2-drink maximum. And so I would.
The polar opposite of the clubs you normally play.
The polar opposite.
With a 2-drink minimum.
No drinks are allowed. They can't handle it.
Is that true?
They're too on edge. Yeah, no. If they're close to battle, yeah. Well, they have to stay sharp, but they also
I suppose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would always make the joke if there's a 2 maximum, can you roll that over? You know, and then, you know, come June 30th, you're having 35 drinks.
Save them up. Yeah.
Exactly.
We had a guy in our family that he was diagnosed with diabetes, sadly. And the doctor said, you know, you can control it. You can have half a cup of ice cream every day. Mm. And he waited a month and ate a gallon.
Yeah.
And then it's not allowed.
It should be.
So you do that. And also what I love, and I've been to numerous of them, I've participated in a couple of them, are your murder mysteries. Are they still going on?
Yeah, we actually brought those overseas a couple times too, which was an adventure.
In the military, did they demand an actual murder?
You know, we did actually get in trouble for like a little bit of a sexual harassment adjacent line, but it's also part of the character. Like he has to be a villain, so in order to establish that he's a bad guy, you have to say things. And but somebody complained. I'm like, you know, people are getting killed here. It's like just let's relax.
Loosen up.
Whatever.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think.
But,
so.
But no, they're going strong. I'm a little bit of a writer's block, if I'm being honest, right now, to write some new murder mysteries. But you know, we're 15 in, so I guess
I can't believe that. I got 15. That's fantastic. We did. Yeah. You did one for us in Las Vegas when you opened for us
in the
80s. And Back to the 80s was a fun one. And the Newly Dead Game is one I remember.
Newly Dead Game. We've actually made the Newly Dead Game 2. We've done a little sequel to that.
Oh, that's awesome.
That just changed the questions. It's a play on the Newlywed Game, obviously.
Now, and it was great for the audience participation. You're doing one at the Old Ox Brewery in Ashburn coming up. That's the July 20th?
Yeah, the answer is murder. This is something that I was kind of during the quarantine. I was like, I need, you know, who knows how fast we're going to go back to full capacity, if ever.
Right.
So I was like, I thought of a show that we could do. In my mind, it was for like a smaller room. It's a trivia night meets murder mystery. So any place you would do a trivia night, you could do this instead or as well as. And it's just basically, it's trivia night. Someone dies. We keep trying to solve the murder, but also keep answering the trivia questions.
I love the fact that you actually build in devices to keep the audience involved.
Yeah.
With it. I mean, the trivia here in the Newly Dead Game, you actually have contestants playing the Newlywed Game on stage.
Absolutely.
And when you do that, it makes it that they're very much. Are you still casting certain parts in it from people that just show up that night?
Absolutely. The audience roles are crucial because if they do great, first of all, the audience is rooting for them because they're one of us. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if they do great and they like put on an accent and they really go for it, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And if they're just horrible, that's also awesome. So,
yeah, it is. It is.
And they'll generally give us, like Justin Schlegel, you know, who's the star of our shows, is really good at just playing off the audience. But we had one in Winchester, Virginia, where you know, she's reading her lines and it says dot, dot, dot.
Oh, no.
And she literally read dot, dot, dot. So so the rest of the cast picked up. She could be president.
She could be.
So the rest of the cast picked up on that and we started adding our lines with, No, don't go in there! Exclamation point.
You know? Oh, that's great. That's
and
great.
So it became this whole thing. So
yeah, but it's the one in Ashburn. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ashburn. Yeah.
No, I'm saying the one in Ashburn. The answer is murder. It's trivia night meets murder mystery. So if it is actual real trivia, and I think you and your wife would be great in this show.
Well, this is the murder mystery. This is the closest one to our house in a long time. So, yeah, I appreciate you rolling it towards me. I feel like Branson. The stars are coming to me.
Yes.
So, yeah, I would love. We'd love to come. I think that would be great. So,
well, there's a role for a couple that's arguing over the right answers in the trivia, and I feel like you two have that in you.
I will not even comment to that, but I'll just say we might skip rehearsal. While we're talking plugs, and I do have a lot of questions for you, but I want to make sure this gets out there. You can see Rob this weekend at Brightbox in the aforementioned Winchester, Virginia. Yes. Winchester becoming a real comedy hub, isn't it?
No, it's right downtown. It's a nice little 120 seat theater. You were joking.
I was.
No, it's a nice downtown area, and it's a good club, the Brightbox. We do our murder mysteries there 5-6 times a year, so it's like one of our like home clubs.
Cool. And then also that's this Saturday at 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. And also check him out at the Cellar Door in Frederick, Maryland, Sunday at 7 p.m. Josh and I were just in Frederick.
Yeah. Another cool town. I like Frederick. Yeah,
I do too.
I'm hearing a lot of Virginia and Maryland. You could fix the writer's block by leaving the state.
No, this is why Rob and I get along so well. He's almost a shut-in like me. But also, he is still a big part in the opener on the Blue Skies and Dirty Lies tour with David Koechner, which, if it comes anywhere near you, you must go see this. It is a great show.
Thank you.
Listen up, cities, Portland, Oregon, Plano, Texas, Richmond, Virginia. My daughter should come and heckle you at that show. She lives in Richmond.
Yes. No, I think you have some older dates there, Rob. Let me see.
According to your Phoenix, Austin, Philly, Boston, Arlington.
Yeah, I think you have some older dates there. So
does that say 2023 at the top?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Oh, maybe
I got you. St. Louis, Missouri, July 12th through 13th. Birmingham, Alabama, 26th through the 28th. We have Rochester, Cincinnati, Lexington. If you go to davidkoechner.com, it's going to give the full stuff. Maybe my website sucks.
I don't know.
Colorado.
I was living at robmayer.com.
Wheeling, West Virginia.
Guy, that's the guy from The Office, right?
That's correct. Yes. We're also doing an office trivia dumb, but... show.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Give us the Todd Packer. He played Todd Packer in The Office. And are you still doing One Night as the trivia contest? And then you do the stand-up?
Absolutely, yes.
And Koechner is an amazing stand-up. Even if I got the cities wrong.
It's okay. I mean, we will be back to those cities at some point.
Oh, and Modesto, California, Chewy.
Yes. I know we have some Northern California, also Livermore, California. So it's we're all over
that's
the place,
where the Beatles came from. Yeah. So if anywhere they come to, go to davidkoechner.com and check it out. But what is so cool, this trivia night, that he comes out in character as Todd Packer. So fans of The Office, which is, I think The Office is on like its third iteration of being a hit show now, because my kids just put it on and leave it on in the background. We get that all the time.
It's everyone's like doing laundry, doing dishes. It's just sort of because you can go in and out. It's not like you've seen it so many times, you don't have to get sucked in at every scene. You can just pop in and out and just get the laughs and get the humor and get the jokes.
Are you ever
trying to convince them you are part of The Office? That you know, you were in the show as well.
Sometimes when I come out, because I come out first and I explain the rules,
right?
And I've said before, also co-creator of this show. Now, I mean the trivia show.
Yes.
But people afterwards are like, oh, so you were on The Office? I'm like, if I was the co-creator, do you think I'd be here? I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but like, I would have $300 million. So, I mean, hey, love you, Huntsville, Alabama. But I wouldn't be here in any circumstance. But like, so then I had to change that to, no, the co-creator of this, The Office trivia show.
I think you should have gone with the other one. It gives you a certain texture to your personality.
And then there used to be, I used to have a trivia question in there. Was I ever in the show as an actor, or is it just like
an extra?
Yeah. An extra. Was my face on screen?
Right.
And then people would start staring at me too much and making me turn around and bend over. And then the answer is no. So then I just let them down. So then I was like, why am I putting myself through this? So
I think it's a great trick question. Are you ever amazed at the minutiae that people know about the show?
Oh, yeah. And sometimes they'll challenge the questions, and I'm like, I'm pretty thorough, and like there is one specific question that is it's kind of a trick, but like,
okay,
it's you know, did the first time that David Koechner plays Todd Packer is in the pilot episode.
Okay.
Now in the pilot episode, the voice of Todd Packer he calls in, but he's not seen.
Okay.
But it's not the voice of David Koechner. That's the one time someone else played Packer. It's another actor.
Okay.
So sometimes people, they'll think, oh no, he was in that. He just wasn't seen. I'm like, no, he Todd Packer was in it, the voice, but David Koechner had nothing to do with that. So the answer is false, and they'll challenge me, and then I'll win, and then people will cheer.
I mean, they realize that the guy is right there, right? I mean,
yes. Well, the irony is, of all the people we did it, he would get last place in terms of office trivia. Yeah.
I would imagine that, he has stuff to do. He's not sitting home watching it over and over again. Yeah.
Right.
So you do the shows, you tour, how many weekends a year would you say you're away from your home?
I mean, 35 to 40. So.
Wow. And,
yeah,
and do you,
we've been hitting
love
it pretty hard.
Do you love it? You almost have to, I would say.
Yeah, I like we've been on a good run here where it hasn't been a crazy, bunch of weeks in a row, which will come in the fall. We have 8 weeks in a row. Not even the ones that you invented from 2 years ago. Actual real ones. So
listen, I'm not in charge of updating your website. Sometimes I give up. I don't look at by the time I see the word June, I'm done. So I have to apologize as far as
No, it's fine. We're all those dates that all runs together to me. So maybe we are going there again. No, we do have 8 in a row come like September, October, which we did 7 in a row last year, all in the hottest places in the summer, Florida and Texas. And so that can get, because you don't ever really get home in time. So you're home, you're doing laundry, you're repacking. It's just, you're sort of just, that's your life. But hey, it's make the money and get it while you can.
Yeah, I understand.
I do love to just go to places that you've never been to and then make a little checklist of where to go back and where to stay longer at.
You always hear the names of the clubs, Bananas, Chuckles, the Nut Hut.
Just at Zanies.
Zanies. Do you have a favorite club just based on the name?
Well, I like Magoobies.
That's sort of our home club. Yeah.
It's in Timonium. It's based off Andrew, the owner. He combined his kids' names to come up with that. Although I've never figured
his
that
daughter
out.
Is named Gooby?
Yes. He has Mabel, Goopster, and Yvonne. So.
And of course, that is in Timonium.
Right, and they're all boys.
Yeah. When you say home club, this fascinates me as we talk
DC
about
improv. What I call
yeah, but the CZ, the serious business of comedy. Mm. I think Magoobies is where you probably land more often than not. I see you saying that you're going to go there. Is that like where you go if you're going to like work out something that you're going to take on tour, or they always talk about having your chunks and all that stuff, but you have to break the material in. Where do you go when you want to break something in, or do you just sort of merge it into your current act and see if it works?
I think it works the best to merge into the current act because, you want to try something out when they already like you, so you can, you don't want to open with something new. You want to establish that you have a rapport with the audience, and then you can throw things out. And then even if it doesn't do well, you can even acknowledge that or make a joke about that or acknowledge that it's a new joke. And they might actually appreciate that you're working something out. And nobody expects every second to be hilarious. Like, you try for that, obviously. But I do find just throw something out in the middle of the set. And then my jokes work best if I say them and then it comes out right. And then that's the way to do it versus writing it down and coming and scratching things out. I just have to say it and then
I would think that
boom, it'll just pop.
It would come to like almost like a rhythm thing because you can write something beautifully, but if you don't say it in a way that sounds natural, it's already got, 2 points against it.
And I do think sometimes a joke, I do think of it like a song in a way where I know the rhythm is going to be dun da da da, dun da da, dun da 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 da, And so you kind of feel like, in a weird way, that's the rhythm of the laughs, the setups, the punchline, the big ending.
I've seen you so many times perform, and I think one thing that you present when you come out is it doesn't take you long to have the audience. There's probably a better way to say it, but root for you. They're on your side. You're a likable guy. You're relating to them. And because of that, it must be kind of that's got to be one of the key elements to making a set work, I would think, is because if you come out and you are not likable or You're presenting an image of someone that they don't want to root for. You're just working against yourself. So by opening with something, as you say, a work, something that's part of your act, something you've worked out, that sort of sets the table. Have you ever started a show where you just said, oh my God, I should not have started with that because now I'm pushing a rock up a hill?
Oh yeah. And I'm usually, thank you for saying that, but pretty good about taking the stage and having a little one-liner or something. If something happened organically, but sometimes you'll try that in it and you're like, oh, they didn't like that. And now I was coming up just clean, just like they didn't like or dislike.
Right.
And now I've built this up, but I do feel like, especially like, and this probably helps me, like with David Koechner, it's just a two-man show. So I'm going up first. And a lot of times the MC, the host, maybe they're not that good or they're new. And so the audience, especially if they've come to this club a lot, they kind of have this expectation. Oh, it's the first guy who's going to whatever for 10 minutes.
Right.
And we'll get to the roast. So they've underestimated me, which helps me because I'm going to do well. And then
they're hungry for laughs. They've, they've sat through the opener. Right.
Right. And then they realize, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. So I do think the audience, they're all rooting for you. They want you to be funny.
Well, they paid money. They want to laugh.
They paid money. So, and I think it's important to try to let them know they're in good hands. And maybe that's just the way you take the stage, just showing some confidence, but also just being, to what you said, I like to think that I'm approachable and they feel like they would hang out with me and stuff like that.
Well, you do. You come out after the show and you sell your merch, but you're also, friendly to all the people. And I think I love that. You present yourself as a friendly, approachable guy. When you are doing the work with Koechner, you both do crowd work. Mm-hmm. But then you do almost like a crossover, like old DJs used to do in the days of Boss Radio, where your last 5 minutes is his first 5 minutes, and you've got some repartee prepared. But the crowd work is just what you do is so, so good and so natural. But you have to have certain crowd tropes that you keep in your pocket ready to go. Do you have prepared jokes for people that you see in the audience when you're doing your crowd work?
No, not necessarily. Like if I try to just not put that in my head. Now, if something's happening but generally if I'm going up first, nothing has happened yet for me to make any comments on.
Now,
when Dave and I are doing our back and forth, I'll call back to things that have happened.
That's what I love is it sort of gives it a richer experience, for lack of a better word. And it also, it's a seamless entrance for him. It's not like a stop and a start. It's like you guys are part of the same train going down.
It's one of our favorite things because people comment about that. They comment about that more than anything because no one else does that. This happened organically the first time. I do this joke where I basically ask a couple their celebrity hall pass.
Okay.
And then I think this
Jennifer Love Hewitt for me.
Good answer.
Thank you.
One of my favorite jokes, Andy Klein, when she gained on weight, he called her Jennifer Love Handles. But anyway, so yes. So
that's not okay.
Not okay. No, he's canceled. You're canceled, Andy Klein.
Canceled.
Yes. He lives in Ashburn, actually. So you know what? Don't even go to that show. Never mind.
No, never mind. Forget
it. He won't be at that show at the Old Oxbury. Great name. So, but then one night Dave came out and he told me not to leave. He just hang on. You're not gonna believe what happened. I was in the green room. This woman knocks on the door. I answer it. I go, this is not the bathroom. She goes, no, I'm not looking for the bathroom. I'm looking for you. You're my hall pass. And it was, and then he inserts whoever the guy said was his hall pass, Carrie Underwood or whatever.
Right.
And then, and so then we had a whole thing about that. And we're like, okay, well, that was fun. And then we sort of playing on that.
Build on it. Yeah.
Right. One night I asked a guy his hall pass and he said Audrey Hepburn and I had to tell him that she's died 30 years ago or whatever. So, and then
maybe that's his thing.
And that's what we talked about. Maybe he's into ghosts. So that, so then that became a thing that we started doing. Cause I riffed off that. And then he came in and so it's sort of, we had a really bad Uber driver in Milwaukee. We'll call him Kevin. That's his name. Asshole. Anyway, can we curse? Sorry.
Fine.
And the Uber word says, for 7 minutes, he's 1 minute away. That guy, And then he tells you his life story, and he's getting lost because his brother talked about his life, and then he can't follow instructions. And so we do a whole. We used to do the thing about him, and we tag it into the other stuff. So it's become a whole thing. It's corn organically just growing and evolving.
I love it. You are two very funny men, and when you put your heads together, it's got to be very rewarding to sort of Lego construct that mm-hmm. sort of bit that gets stronger as it moves on. It's got to be very cool.
It is, and we're constantly figuring out, like, all right, did this go too long? Let's shorten it, you know, because think we kept adding things, and then what it what's our outline, because, you know, I have to eventually leave, so we try to give me the line, and then
but it's got to be tempting. It's got to be tempting to keep adding, because if it keeps getting funnier to you, you know, and sometimes that's something I don't mind sometimes seeing a comic do a joke that I know is expressly written for himself. If he truly enjoys telling it, it doesn't have to be as funny for the audience, but he's really into it.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful. If you do, you know, 20 minutes about this Uber driver, you're having a blast, and the audience is saying, well, I'm ready for the show to begin.
No. And I recognize it. Like they're there to see him.
Right.
That's why they're there. So at some point we're like, we're 40 minutes in and it hasn't just been you yet. But then, you know, we want to give him a 90 minutes of just the whole show is great. That's our, that's what we're trying to deliver.
Well, I can give 100% recommendation. It's a great night. So if they come near you, if you're not in the cities that I mentioned, they're probably coming to your town. Now, this is we've had you on in several guises and many times, but I don't know if we've ever asked you, who were your favorite comics growing up? And I love to watch how people find, and you can almost take a comic and draw a graph and see, you know, the roots that they've come from. But you're kind of hard to peg. Who did you like? What inspired you, or who inspired you?
Well, the first guy that I really liked, and I guess I was, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, Sam Kennison. That was my first love. So the
what about Sam?
Well, I love the his whole joke. His act wasn't the yelling, but that was he did do the yelling.
Right, right.
But I did like, and when I first started, I would sort of do the da 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 da. I would do that. And but I love.
I've seen old headshots of you. You look much angrier.
Yes,
than you used to. Than you are
I
now.
Used to, yes, I used to be angrier. Sure, sure. I don't know, but that's a whole other conversation. But
another day.
Yeah. Excuse me. But his joke about, you know, feeding starving kids in Africa, and he's like
classic.
Yeah. So that, and then I loved Eddie Murphy. I remember I saw Eddie Murphy Raw on Christmas Day, which was a good family outing.
Midnight Mass.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then to Eddie Murphy.
Exactly. Yes, 'tis the season. And then when I started comedy, Chris Rock was the guy. He'd just bring the pain and all that. And he was, and then I think I'd do the thing where I'd walk across the stage. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to do it, but I just sort of liked that.
Remember, I hate to interrupt you, but that special, that first special, the night it dropped on a Saturday night on HBO, and it's one of those moments in life that I remember where I was, because I had never seen anything like it. He was like he's prowling the stage like a tiger. And it was, it was like he was out there to tell the jokes. Like he was mad at the jokes.
Yes.
He was telling them. And it was like, unlike anything I'd ever seen, because it wasn't like the energy and the screaming of Kinison. It was more controlled.
Yes.
And therefore, almost scarier. It was scary for me. Yeah.
And it's so simple, yet it's so powerful, just that walking back and forth, and just the way he did that. And then I started to get into Brian Regan, who was at the time like the number one, like just touring clubs. He's going to sell out every room and still to this day. He's a clean comic. And I actually, this is one of those stories where you want to meet your idols, because I met. We are in Albany, Dave and I, and he was performing at some venue, some larger venue, but he came to the show, and then he has a tour bus. Or actually, first we're at the bar, and I forget, it was some one-hit wonder, like Come On Eileen or something, and Come On.
Right.
And we're having this conversation. He goes, you know what? If I saw them perform, I think they could play that song twice.
Dexy's Midnight Runners?
And I'm like, yeah. Like, if you have one hit, who's going to be mad if they play it twice?
Right.
And then he's like, you know what? Three times. I go, well, four, then it gets weird. But five, it gets funny again.
Yeah,
so we had this whole conversation. And I was like, this is exactly what I thought you would be like. And we're having this funny, just organic conversation. I'm like,
that's
yeah,
great.
Why would you only play it once? You have one hit. Just keep playing it, right? Okay. Open with it, close it, do a mashup in the middle, play that friggin' song.
I love it. It's funny because there is, I wonder if you agree, obviously you probably do based on that conversation. If you're doing some comedy based on repetition, mm-hmm. you have to shoulder the moment when the audience gets sick of it until it gets funny again.
Yes.
Because it can be funny one, two, right. maybe three times, and then four, five, and six, they're like, oh, come on, guys. But then seven, something yes. happens, and it's funny again.
I've said that when someone is bombing. It's like, when you watch the figure skating in the Olympics,
yeah,
you're rooting for this girl, whether she's American or not. She's some mm-hmm. 16-year-old, and then she comes out and she falls on the first jump, and you're like, oh, you feel bad, right? And then she falls a second time, like, oh, she's crying. Then she falls a third time, you're like, this is getting good, right?
Yeah.
She falls a fourth time, you're calling her, you're texting everybody. If she falls seven times, it's the greatest figure skating thing you've ever seen. The girl who nailed every jump, you'll forget about in 10 minutes. That you'll remember forever.
Yeah.
So if someone's bombing, it's like, don't get out of it. Just keep bombing. And then it becomes amazing.
Yeah, you got, but it takes bravery.
It takes
bravery. Because you got a shoulder.
You get through that part where they're like, oh, my God, I can't watch this. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, yes, another bad joke, please.
Now, I know that the stand-up comedy world is actually pretty small, and mm-hmm. you've probably met a lot of people. And I don't mm-hmm. know if I'm going to make anyone angry here, but I have a mm-hmm. question. Have you ever met Steve Byrne?
I work with Steve Byrne a few times.
Okay,
yeah.
So we've had him on the show, and he's delightful, mm-hmm. but very funny man. But he has done, and I don't know if it's just my Facebook feed, but he has done like a reinvention of his image, it seems, where he did a thing like a year ago where he was like a Johnny Carson talk yeah. show comic.
Yeah, doing like these monologue jokes.
Yeah, and it was really clever and smart. Mm. And the only thing I thought as a DJ is that looked expensive to do.
Right.
But he's a great comic. What is, when you saw that, what did you think? Because that wasn't the way he was, say, 5 years ago. That's not how he presented himself.
Well, I work with him. I think one of the first times I worked with him, he was doing half his set was that and half was just his normal act.
Okay.
So he was transitioning into that. And so we talked about that. I think he said he had a special coming out that was doing just that.
Okay.
But it was interesting because he would always close on this joke that was like a home run where he'd bring audiences on stage, members, and he'd have them, he'd try to get somebody from like every race, guys.
Okay.
And he'd have a girl on stage and they would sort of like dance for her. She'd be sitting down and they'd do like a lap dance.
Okay.
And he'd play Usher's Making Love in the Club.
Okay.
So I didn't even know that song until he was playing it. I'm like, that's I guess I should be cooler.
Yeah.
And then he
I think you got three guys right now, you, me, and right. Oz. And I said, I would guess none of us have it on our playlist.
No.
I'm just going to guess.
But then he would have everybody dance, and then he'd make fun of them, and then some guys would try really hard. And then if the black guy wasn't good, he'd make fun of that. And if the white guy was great, mm-hmm. and then the girl, it was a whole thing. It was like a 15-minute closer. It'd mm-hmm. always kill. And I'm like, well, why would you ever stop doing that? You know, I
mean, right.
Just keep doing that.
Yeah.
But the one-liners, they're funny, but that's a lot of work because you gotta write 300 jokes. Yeah.
I imagine it is a lot of work. It's really, to me, I just find it impressive.
Because
he was,
impressive.
I mean, just, mm-hmm. I mean, really one of the top stand-ups mm-hmm. and to like reinvent yourself like that. I didn't realize he was sort of melding it into his act some time ago. But now I'm seeing like mm-hmm. these glossy looking Art Deco posters. And just like if you were to look at it without any knowledge, you could say, well, this is a guy from 1962.
Yeah.
And it looks like that. And I just was curious what your opinion was. I'm glad to know that you've met him. He was so nice when we met him. So
I think I've done three. I worked with him. The first time I think was the last show before the world stopped, before we...
Oh, really?
Down. Yeah. Virginia Beach Funny Bone. Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
then and I think we knew it was happening. And then.
Yeah, that was the weird that week. It was like March 10th mm-hmm. when everyone was saying this is coming, but we didn't right. know what it was. I legendarily on the show, I said, I heard that this COVID is going to affect everybody. And both Mike and Oscar said, "You're out of your mind."
Yes.
So I made one smart prediction. Last
I remember, question. I remember saying everyone's going to get it. I think that was my prediction. I feel we're geniuses, Rob.
I know, and here we are, housebound. Both of us sounds like you
and
might.
And
have
I sound
it.
Sick. Yes.
So, last question. I ask this as this is a purely selfish question because you know I like the old stuff. I like Turner Classic Movies. I like stuff in black and white. Mm. Are there any older comics, any older movie stars, any older people in comedy that you still find funny or you draw anything from? Or is comedy constantly, you know, fresh? You can't really look back like that.
Gosh, I mean, I love like Larry David, but that's not what you're going for.
No, I'm thinking like in the 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. Like, could you watch like clips of, say, Abbott and Costello? And their wordplay and their physicality.
I could,
And you
like
find
the wordplay.
I
like the wordplay. I like the small things that they do. Because a lot of that, because, you know, when Dave and I are doing these things, there are beats to it.
Yeah.
In terms of he says, I come in right at the end of his line to say something. And there's, so I do think there's a rhythm to that. And I think then that's rare these days. So just from that perspective, absolutely.
Yeah, I love what you say about rhythm. The Marx Brothers, when they went to, and I promise to keep this brief, all those under 70. when they went to MGM, they were concerned that the timing in their movies were off because they got their start on stage. So MGM would take the key comedy sequences in their movies before they filmed them, and they'd perform them in vaudeville places with an audience. So they knew what joke worked, what didn't, and more importantly, how to pause for laughter in film so you knew that their next line would be heard. And I've always thought it fascinating that, you know, rhythm, there's a lot of combinations of music and comedy. The rhythm is huge, and I appreciate your insight on that. So
absolutely,
let's take a break. We are joined by Rob Mayer. Remember, you can see him live and doing his thing in Ashburn on July 20th. Also, Brightbox in Winchester and the Cellar Door in Frederick. Apparently, all of his information can be found at davidkechner.com.
Check my website.
Yeah, do that. We'll be right back. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey there. How would you like to see the Mike O'Mara Show as it happens?
You are looking live.
Live!
And we'll do it live.
All live.
Live in living color.
You can. Every Monday through Thursday.
It's 8:15 a.m. Time for the Mike O'Mara Show.
Just go to YouTube and watch the hijinks unfold before your very eyes.
Wake the kids, phone the neighbors, come in from the lawn. This is one you won't want to miss.
Subscribe, tap the bell, and you're in business. TMOS on YouTube. It's the greatest technological breakthrough since Betamax. And it's only from
The Mike O'Mara Show, TMOS.
That's the sweet-smelling Jim Amato. Thank you, Jim. I want to tell you...
Big fan of him.
You are?
I'm a big Jim guy.
I always thought you were a Trip guy.
I love me some Trip.
They're all great.
Yeah, they're all great.
It's a Sophie's choice.
Ever since Merle got with that betting weirdo guy.
I know.
Lost a little respect for her.
I haven't heard from him all summer. Hey, look, you're a hat guy. You're wearing a hat.
Yeah.
People love hats. That's what I've learned. And backed by popular demand, we now have the extremely limited run of the brand new TMOS Summer Cap, which is the ultimate accessory for fans who want to show their support while staying cool. It's available in vibrant red. That's my favorite. Crisp white, light blue, or sleek black, ensuring there's a perfect match for everyone. Enjoy its lightweight, breathable, and moisture-wicking design that keeps you comfortable no matter how hot it gets. So hurry up and support the show you love. That's us. Every purchase keeps the laughs coming. TMOS Store, the source for all things TMOS. Go there at www.tmosstorefullstop.com. And remember our motto... If you don't buy it, we won't sell it.
Is it? It's crisp white. Crisp. White?
Very crisp. Yeah.
And your comedy special. I'm going to call that crisp white.
Well, it's good. You can maybe update your website because those tour dates on your website are from 2022.
I'm looking at my website right now. It's. I don't know what.
I'm
you guys
looking
are
at
saying.
Your website. I see.
Maybe
the last
you got
to
refresh.
The DLP agenda was. October 21st, 2023.
I'm looking at my calendar right now. I've got June 2024. People, well, test this.
Go. Here's the problem. The problem is your homepage. Your homepage, you have like a blog layout, and you show your latest DLP agenda, which I do not believe is your latest one.
No.
But if you go to the calendar, is it
you told everyone. You told everyone Happy New Year on January 5th, 2023.
Well, that's then the next accurate.
Post, and then the next post is Blue Skies and Dirty Lies comedy tour with David Kalkner from that you posted on February 18th, 2022 with all those dates.
Yes, but why wouldn't you go to the upcoming shows? I mean, why wouldn't you go to that feed if you're looking
the
for
upcoming
the
upcoming
shows?
I believe looks okay. But if there you just you go. If you just go to the main website, the nice pretty pictures, it's yes. wrong.
You see, what's happening here is we were selling TMOS hats, but Josh put on his producer hat, and he's dissatisfied with your homepage content.
That's fair, but
I'm trying
the
to
calendar
out,
is accurate.
I'm trying to figure out how Spiewak got the wrong dates.
Well, and they were on the front page.
The pretty pictures on the front page.
I love pretty pictures. I do.
I think somehow we're both right, but I'm most wrong probably.
I think that might be the first time, and I realize it's because we both share the first name. The first time Josh has called me Spiewak.
Well, it's very confusing having two Robs on my screen at the same time.
I understand. Yes. I understand.
Only one of you will be in Winchester on Saturday.
You don't know that.
You don't know that. Hello.
You don't know that. I've got an
I need an opener.
Well, I won't do that. Hollywood talent agencies, God, they're smart, aren't they? Because this is our lead story. You know what you know what's got them excited right now?
Oh, I do. I do.
You do? Are you into this?
Yeah. I'm over it already. Is it Hawk Tua? Is that what we're going with? Yes.
Yeah. Got to spit on that thing.
You
that
got
was also
to.
That was also what the Marx Brothers tried on the theaters in the 1930s. Didn't play. Well, you know, go ahead, Josh.
Biden's going to pull that out tonight for the debate as well to be relevant.
What if they both just did that? And I mean, I would that would get a vote for me, whoever does that.
I would. Yeah. And wouldn't that be better if Dr. Biden said that?
Yes.
Then Joe maybe brings his wife out. I don't know.
I'm sure it fits for one of the questions tonight.
Yeah. Yes.
Her name is Haley Welch, bless her heart.
Yeah.
And she's also known as the Hawk Tua girl. Mm-hmm. She went viral. She has, I think it's crested and on its way down now.
Mm-hmm.
But people are saying she's already inked a deal with UTA, United Talent Associates.
Yeah. I'm not sure what. I mean, she could be on a reality show, right? That's
yeah, and then maybe a surreality show. And she sold tens of thousands of dollars in merchandise. Could a TV show, or dare I say it, Pixar movie be far behind? The thing is, she has as classless as this comment is.
Mm.
She the few seconds that she says that, she's very appealing looking. In a sexual way. I just think she has a charming way about her.
She seems fun.
Yeah. Well, she does.
Yes. Yes. I think she's attractive. Her friend was hot too. And like,
yeah,
what do I get? Yeah.
I would put her as like, let's say you're recasting the show Reba, which is a great sitcom. Wouldn't you cast her as a neighbor? I think she'd 100%. Be a great neighbor. Yeah, right?
She's got the crazy neighbor vibe.
Yeah.
The silly, wacky girl. Yeah.
Josh?
It appears that the deal is to get her a podcast.
You need a deal to get a podcast?
They're apparently building a podcast around her.
Is it called Hawk Tua?
I
can't see it be called anything else.
Yeah.
Well, here's my message to you, Haley. You don't need an agency to do a podcast.
You don't.
All you need is a modem. Maybe she needs one of those too.
Yeah, maybe she does.
You
well, who? Well, is go she ahead, have guests on? I mean, I don't. What is she going to talk about the debate? What if she's just serious? The whole podcast, not a joke to be found.
I think that would be awesome. Yes. I would listen to that.
I think we've seen lots of TikTokers then transition.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? The man is a force. He is still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. But what's mind-blowing is that he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than the guys half his age. It is all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and down it. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Rob, you're liking it, right?
Yeah, I'm taking it. Robert's taking it. We both love it. And as someone who loves lemonade, it does taste like strawberry lemonade. Every day I take it, my digestion is smoother. I have energy. I feel younger. It's great stuff.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/TMOS for up to 44% off your regular priced order. And remember, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/TMOS today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry, with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development, with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. Oracle.com/bandwidth.
In the podcast, then.
Yeah, but
I don't see her. She was never a TikToker. Another TikToker kind of took advantage of her.
Yeah, that's true. She was never an influencer until now.
She will take gigs away from comedians. I promise you that. She will be headlining some club, or she'll just do the hawk to a thing, spit on that thing, and then take questions.
But
and
you're not.
We'll pay $50.
But you're not bitter. You're not bitter.
Not bitter at all. I can spit on things.
Yeah, hey, but you weren't at the right place at the right time.
And that sounds better than some of the club hosts I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
She brings a little something, which is
well,
nice.
You know, Justin Schlegel just did the fully loaded Bert Kreischer tour, Merriweather Post Pavilion. And it was right the day of that. And he came out and he started doing a hawk to a chant. I believe he's saying, if you don't hawk Tua, I don't want to do you, or something like that. I think you got the crowd to chant that. Sweeping the nation.
Yeah, it is sweeping. I wish her all the best. I hope she doesn't take any work from you.
She will. I've already accepted that.
You know what she could do? What if she, I mean, her career
be
is
great
young.
Great in a murder mystery. Yeah.
Her career is young. Is it too early for her to make that Steve Burns switch? It could happen. Are you a big Olympics guy?
I do. I love the Olympics. Yeah.
Okay. So they're coming up. And of course, NBC is starting to shove it down our throat.
Oh, yeah.
And Al Michaels is going to be a part of it. But I think what's funny is when I was reading this story, I thought it said Al Michaels, but it said AI Michaels, because it's true. NBC has licensed and taken all of his voice work from the last two Olympic Games and created AI Al Michaels that will give you your personal scores and results from events that matter to you that might not make NBC, and he will even address you by name.
Do you believe in miracles?
I say, the most staggering thing here is that this means that up to now, Al Michaels was not a robot. But we've done stuff with the AI. This is so easily done, but I think this is a bad move for broadcasting to embrace.
It's a horrible move.
I wouldn't have announced it. I would have.
Yeah, you know, you're right. That's smart. You're smart.
Yeah. People think he records all this stuff.
They're
what
excited.
Is he getting out of this? Is it ego that he'll live forever? Is that it? Or is he?
Oh,
because I would
sure
think he
money.
Wouldn't want that. Well, I'm sure there's money, but I mean, I feel like he's got to be doing pretty well at this.
They brought him in to check it out because he was skeptical. And you know, Josh, the more I think about it, you're right. They shouldn't have said word one about this because no one would have known.
After.
Yeah, like gotcha. It would be a gotcha interview. But Al Michaels listened. He said he was in awe of the nuance. And he said, quote, "It was not only close, it was almost 2% off perfect." Mm. And I'm thinking, whoa. And then he went on to say, "They were able to do exactly what I might." What I shouldn't say exactly. It sounded like what I might say in a certain situation. Al Michaels is 160 years old.
Yeah, and you know, he's one of the all-time greats, but I hope AI Michaels will be received better than AI Nikki. I just hope that.
You know, I thought we were way ahead of the curve on that. But the thing about AI Nikki, he said things that Nikki might have said.
That's very true. Yeah.
Jeremy Allen White, if you're not sick of him now, you will be in the next 24 hours because The Bear has dropped on, I guess it's, what is it, Hulu?
FX.
FX has it.
Yeah.
I like the show a lot. I thought it was really entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that people are telling me how I'm going to binge watch this all this weekend and be done with season three by Sunday. I think that Hollywood loves to pick a winner and jam it down our throats. And I'm not taking away from The Bear, but when they're actually talking about The Bear being on the news that it's coming back, that's a little over the top as far as people being excited about the show.
And isn't it winning comedy awards because it's a half hour, so it gets put in the comedy category?
It's not definitely that funny.
No, it's much more dramatic. It's heavy.
Yeah, it is. Well, you remember Jeremy Allen White, who played Lip on the show Shameless.
He's a great actor.
I like him a lot. Mm. He has been cast to be Bruce Springsteen in an upcoming Bruce Springsteen, and I'll say it the way the kids say it, biopic.
Biopic.
Yeah, a lot of people say biopic, but the kids say biopic. And he's going to try to do his own singing. But what he's doing here, and make no mistake, he's Tom Hanksing us. The Bear is coming out, and so to not look like he's shamelessly shilling The Bear, he's talking about the biopic, but we're still talking about The Bear. Don't Tom Hanks me. Have you ever noticed that when Tom Hanks has a project coming out, he shows up at a World's Fair or he's ice fishing or something?
Yeah.
And all these charming stories, he returned to
Lady's Ring. Oh, I just happened to be here.
Just happened to do it. Yeah. So don't Tom Hanks me, Michael Allen White.
Where have the biopics, have they been that successful? I mean,
the Queen one was huge.
The Queen one, okay, yes, the Queen one was huge. I mean, going back years ago, the Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It, was
big.
Great.
And you know, the Elvis one did quite well,
right?
Despite the fact that Elvis fans are aging out. So I think a well done one, it's going to have to be.
Didn't they have the Whitney Houston one that didn't do that well, and there was
it landed flat.
The James Brown one, I think.
Yeah, I liked the James Brown one, but it did not do very well. I think
Aretha,
that
was there. Aretha Franklin one, or
oh, that one was that was hard to watch. Okay. That was.
But I think there's a
movie.
Whole lot of more loyalty in the Springsteen audience. For one, they're still alive,
right?
And if they make it like a jukebox musical, who knows? They're going to recut. They keep Baz Luhrmann, who is one of my favorite filmmakers named Baz. He is going to recut the Elvis movie with more footage that they didn't release to the theater to double dip. And the fact that he's adding more music to it, I think that's what people want. They want to have a visual representation of the music. So maybe that's the key to success.
I heard a couple years ago, and it hasn't happened. I'm disappointed. I thought they were going to do, they said they're going to do a Prince Mamma Mia version, like what Mamma Mia is for ABBA. They're going to do some sort of Prince movie.
Was it going to have a darker feel than the Mamma Mia is, or is it Prince trying to get married in the Greek islands?
It was the exact same storyline.
Well,
Meryl Streep is in both. She plays Darling Nikki.
It's going to be a startling dual role.
It's just amazing.
Why does money beget money? I'm here trying to rub two dimes together, and then I find out that Bill Gates, who has a lot of money, his daughter Phoebe confirms that she's dating Paul McCartney's grandson.
Okay.
These are the two guys that have all the money. Yeah. So he just
graduated.
What
are they complaining about?
I don't know. He's dating this guy. He's got all the, you push the button and, you know, doolaloo and the computer. Paul has 8 grandchildren, and his name is Donald. No, I'm sorry. His name is Arthur Donald, and he graduated from Yale University in 2021 with a major in history, which I'm sure will be coming very handy in your life as a Nepo baby.
Yeah, I mean, look, life is hard for everybody, so they're different. There's different challenges, but
yes, I agree.
It is hard to relate to anybody that never has to worry about money.
Ever. And then marrying someone who never has to worry. That's why.
You have to find someone that has the same concerns as you. And if money is never a concern, you got to find someone that money is never a concern.
But it might be funny if it's someone that comes from this like tight household where they're always doing the budget. And she's like, all right, this week, only $20 million on restaurants. Okay, can we keep it down to $20 million?
I bet, you know what, Paul comes from, he comes from very meager backgrounds. I bet that Paul runs a budget.
Yeah.
Because he loves having all the money. He loves having it. I don't think he spends it. I don't know.
Yeah, they're buying generic, like, soda. That's what they're doing?
Generic pot is what he's buying now.
Right.
No, but I don't think he lives outrageously expensive lifestyle. I mean, he makes $1 billion a tour. And then goes back home to wherever I think he still has a place in Scotland. He's got an apartment in New York. He could be living like a rap star lifestyle if he wanted gold teeth, everything. But I think he keeps it kind of simple.
I think I'm not a gold teeth guy, so I don't need.
I'm not yet, but I will be. These are very soft. My dentist tells me I had seven cavities the last time.
Are they
going to
be crisp gold? Yes.
And in May, Paul McCartney finally reached 1 billion. In 1 billion
stream,
in worth for pounds. That's the word I was looking for. 1 billion pounds.
He's
1 billion dollars. Mm-hmm. Now he finally has 1 billion pounds.
Mm. And that comes from budgeting.
It really does. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And not spoiling your children. Don't buy them a Game Boy, Paul. I've said this on the show already this week, and I'll say it again because I think you might enjoy it. I've been binge watching Beverly Hills 90210 from the first episode.
Okay. How did this start? Because I love that you're doing this. I love this for you.
It started because when I started dating my wife, she was very into the show, but it was like season 5.
Yeah.
And she got me into it, and I watched every episode from season 5 to the end, but I'd never watched the beginning. So I've started with season 1. Yeah, they're kids. And it's not a great show. It hasn't aged well, but it is fun to go back and pretend it's, you know, the early 1990s again. Which brings me to this. Tori Spelling has revealed that she got her first boob job in a strip mall. Now she comes from money.
Yeah.
And you would think that Aaron Spelling would help her out, but she says, and this is a quote from her, this is cute. You know what the name of her podcast is? Misspelling.
Clever.
That is maybe even.
Spelling check.
Spell check. I love it. How about this? She says, my first boob job, I had a friend at the time. It was the bad boyfriend I talk about. And it was his friend's girlfriend. And she was like, oh, you just have to go to this place. So I went to the doctor and it was in a strip mall. I can't make this up. I think he was a fine doctor. I was just doing an outpatient surgery center in a strip mall. I was 19. So I looked into it. She was 19 during season 3 of Beverly Hills 90210.
So now you're excited for the change.
I can't wait.
The big makeover.
Wait.
Wow.
Yeah, and you're wondering how it is that she got, you know, through the surgery. Well, it's okay because at the time she was best friends with Alicia Silverstone and Carmen Electra, and they helped take care of her.
Yeah, and the guy that next door at the Auntie Anne's Pretzel hooked her up. So.
Yeah, you got to actually recover at the vape shop.
Do they acknowledge her boobs in the seat? You don't know yet.
I don't think so. I will let you know because
it feels like that should come up. I mean,
so to speak.
Fun. Yes. Yeah. Right.
Right now we're at a thing. Here we are. Brandon is just getting over his gambling addiction. Brenda and Kelly are still fighting over Dylan, who is dreamy.
Yeah.
And Steve, if he misses detention, he's not going to graduate. And, Let's see. Andrea didn't want to go on the roller coaster on senior skip day. And David,
these are real life problems. This is real. Yeah.
David and Donna still haven't had sex.
Hey,
I just saved you 30 episodes.
Compare that to today when it's euphoria, where everyone's on meth and having sex with each other. So it's I would love to see
that mashup. A Euphoria, yes. Beverly Hills 90210 mashup. I think that would be great. All right. You are a DC area guy. So have you ever been to the National Cathedral?
No.
It's a beautiful thing. And if you ever, I say this, people, they say, I'm coming to DC, what should I see? And they always think the Capitol or the monuments, and they're great. But the National Cathedral is amazing. It is really gorgeous. I've taken people there. No one ever gets disappointed. And they're getting an iconic restoration is going on right now. All the stuff inside. We've watched. Remember, it got slightly damaged in that small earthquake a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But now they're working on the inside. It's all being paid for by donors. And one of the big things is they are overhauling the 85-year-old pipe organ, which was installed, you know, when they built it in 1930. The immense project involves 11,000 pipes, and it's going to cost $14 million to get this thing. But until then, they have like an electronic recording of a big pipe organ that they're playing. And it's going to take a while, but it's going to be very exciting for people that worship at the cathedral when the organ comes back. Of course, maintaining an 85-year-old organ is a very delicate task. So they've reached out to Joe Biden's urologist.
Worth it. Worth it, Rob.
President Joseph Robinette Biden and his organ. Sometimes you write a whole newscast and just work backwards.
I loved it. I saw it coming a mile away, and I was happy.
You see, that makes me happy. When we come back, we will talk about the debate on the Mike O'Mara Show. Are you a guy that has tattoos, Rob Mayer?
Tattoos?
Tattoos, you know, ink on your body.
No. Oh, no. I can't commit to that. It's like, I don't know what I'd want on there. I just can't. No, it's not for me.
No?
You?
Not me. But soon, no. I think. My kids are pressuring me to get it.
Really?
I think it'd be nice if you got a little picture of Joe Robinson.
That would be adorable. Yes.
Well, there's
little
a
Joe
lot.
Robinson.
Little Joe. And right under it, Lil Joe.
Where would I put it on my body?
That's up to you.
Hey, there's no wrong place.
That's between you and the ladies.
There's no wrong place for little Joe.
There's so much sun out there, but you're out there. Don't you want to protect your skin? Of course you do. Listen to me. If you have killer tats, you need Mad Rabbit. Mad Rabbit is committed to reinventing tattoo aftercare. Mad Rabbit contains simple, effective, and natural products that help improve and preserve tattoos, all delivered directly to your door. It was founded by two friends who love tattoos, and they have this product, the Tattoo Balm, that revitalizes, replenishes, and preserves tattoo ink with clean and natural ingredients. Works on old tattoos, works on new tattoos, and it's great as a sunscreen. They have a sunscreen for if you're going out there. Josh, how are your tattoos holding up at the camp?
You know, I think everything is burnt except for the tattoos. I think the Mad Rabbit sunscreen is working well. I should have put it on more than just the tattoos.
Well, the camp has a couple more days, so stay tuned. Remember, folks, it is time to try out Mad Rabbit. I would love just the weirdest tan lines. They've preserved over 3 million tattoos, and they've got an exclusive offer just for our listeners. If you go to madrabbit.com/TMOS25 and use promo code TMOS25, you will receive 25% off. Pay attention. That's a different code. 25% off when you head to madrabbit.com/TMOS25 and use our promo code TMOS25. So tonight is the big... Real quick,
if you don't mind, Rob.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's an idea for you.
Yeah.
How about you have listeners send in their tattoos, and you have to guess the tattoo to the listener?
Oh, you mean like not? They're not actually like taking them off their body. They're taking photos.
No, they're taking a photo, and you're like, and you're like,
that sounds like a fun game.
Yeah, I like that.
Is that Jim Amato or Merle Rogers? Who knows? Is that a Dirk Vastrick and that tramp stamp? You don't. This is just have at it.
I think that's great. Yeah. Folks, here's the deal. Send your tattoos to me. Please, only tasteful photos. Rob, R-O-B-B, at MikeOMaraShow.com. Send us your tattoos as soon as you can. Now, the debate is tonight with Donald J. Trump. I don't know what the J stands for. And Joseph Robinette Biden, our current president. And it is going to be an S show. And I watch things like that. I will watch a debate just because I want to stay sort of plugged in to what's going on. But I have a genuine feeling of dread before tuning this one in. And I don't know. I think a lot of Americans are with me on this because it's going to be 4 years. The only way I can say it is the last one was horrible and it's going to be 4 years worse. They've gotten, each of them have gotten 4 years
yes.
worse.
Yes. They're not getting better.
Yeah. No, they're not. And they've got some rules in place. They flipped coins to decide who got to go first, which I think is nice. They flipped a coin to see who got the left or the right side of the stage, which is nice. And they're going to, they're seated because they're old. Mm-hmm. And they're going to mute each other's mics.
Wait, they're seated?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That seems odd.
Well,
I mean, doesn't seem presidential.
You're right. You want to be president? I have not seen a seat at the presidential podium.
Well, we could get like
an office address.
We could get like a DJ stool, one of the tall stools where you can sort of lean back. But this is what they've, you know, they were back and forth on a lot of things about the debate. And that was one of the things. It's a seated debate, as far as I know. And the mics.
It is not a seated debate.
Oh, okay. Forgive me. I thought it was. That was one thing that was in contention.
Apparently, Biden requested it to be seated, and Trump said no.
Okay.
Well, Trump should have said yes and then just stood up. That would be the move.
Right, just over him?
Yes, yeah. Lording over him. The mics, this will be key to the Donald Trump strategy that the mics are muted when the other person is speaking. So he can't run in and talk over him the way he did in the past debates. So
I don't
see
how that's going to work.
I don't either. I don't.
Because
but
they're in the same room. And the other mic is going to pick up. Yelling. It might not be clear, but you're going to pick it up and you're going to distract the other person.
What's going to happen is they're going to use some strong gating. That's what they're going to do.
I think that actually helps Trump because I think when he interrupts so much, it makes people feel sorry for Biden.
Yeah.
I thought that happened last time.
I agree.
And so
I agree.
If that isn't happening, I don't know.
Are you going to watch it?
And
as a comic, this is a question I want to ask. Do you feel it necessary to watch it? Because I know you don't rely on a lot of current events in your comedy, but you should be, you know, versed on the big stories. Do you feel any requirement to watch it?
I feel a requirement just to at least pay attention to what happens. I know Joe and Katie are having a get together at their house. They're having some sort of drinking game when somebody says this or that. They turn into a whole event. which might be probably the way to do it.
They love to party.
Yeah, they do. I don't feel like I need to have it talk about it in my act because it's so divisive.
Sure.
It's really actually the divisiveness is now we're here to not hear about that stuff.
Yeah.
Even if you were saying something that I agreed with, I'd rather not hear that because I don't, because even it's the room will get tense because
It makes me tense. Yeah. It does make me tense to watch this. I mean, we don't need to get even divisive on this show. It's just, it is such an uncomfortable meetup. And everyone has already selected all the things they don't like. Oh, this is a good point. Pat Reynolds in the chat room says that the last seated debate was probably Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah.
He was my favorite sitting president. But everyone is, you know, all decided on the things they hate. A debate shouldn't be about making someone hate a candidate less. It's going to make my shoulders hurt. However, I did use some AI this morning to predict what the debate might be like. And I said, what will Joe Biden open with the debate? And this is what AI gave me.
I'm not hearing it. So.
Okay, I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
I thought
it's not getting to you guys.
No, whatever you're playing over there, we are not hearing.
Oh no!
I thought the bit was he doesn't say anything. He doesn't know it's his turn to talk.
That's also funny.
Yeah.
No.
Wow, that's odd.
Earlier you played the Hawk to a girl, I thought, and then you both reacted as if you heard it, and I didn't hear anything. So I thought there was something wrong with my setup here at camp.
Okay, let me just see one thing. Hold on. It is not getting, for some reason, man, guys, I'm sorry. That's wild.
Right. I thought you were just, amplifying the fact that they would mute the mics.
Yeah.
Giggling along.
Look, it's my website's fault.
No, it's not your website's fault.
I feel like either side, if they lose, they get makes them the big favorite to win next time. So it's almost like
it's like a team that's
tanking.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean lose the debate. I mean lose the election. Okay. I mean like a team that's tanking for number one pick. It's like if you'll give up this 4 years, but you're guaranteed to have your guy or girl win in 4 years. Does that make sense?
It does. And I relied on AI. Watch this reset. I relied on AI to do a prediction of what the debate might sound like tonight. And they said this would probably be Joe Biden's opening statement.
I got a couple of things I need to talk about with you. I guess me and your grandma are going away. When we get where we're going, we'll never be sick. We won't get any older, and we won't ever die.
Now, this is a great opening statement.
And solid.
I asked AI, I said, how do you think Trump will combat this and when they actually have any back and forth? And they said this.
Not all up there, pal. Some of it's down here, which, by the way, is hard as a rock.
You too? You got a bone or two?
Blue steel. Cat couldn't scratch it.
We're in the mood for love. Simply because we've got one.
That was Donald Trump who had the boner. Just saying.
Hey, you went back to Cocoon. I was thinking more like Grumpier Old Men's type 90s show, the two of them on a boat yelling back.
And also plays. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I can't control AI, and I can't control Rob Mayer's website. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Ah, the bonus show. God, I love it. You know what's great about the bonus show is when I play a tape, you hear it. That's one of the best things
about
it. But also, we are continuing to maximize your pleasure with the bonus show because fun is the best thing to have. Now, I know that you know that I know that the bonus show is available on a monthly basis. And I think that's how Rob subscribes. But now, it's also available as an a la carte single purchase episode. So, remember, all you do is you go to MikeOmaraShow.com and then you can buy a month's worth or one episode's worth. Stick your toe in. Buy an episode. Just remember, it's all at MikeOmaraShow.com. Also available, a commercial-free subscription option for an ad-free experience. Remember, imagine this, Rob. If you were listening commercial-free, you wouldn't hear this right now.
Get out.
It's crazy.
There's no commercials.
And what happens... and I'm going to copyright this. It purifies your TMOS experience.
That's gold.
Thank you. Subscribe to the feed. It don't cost nothing. You can check out Classic Botmas. That's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. That's another way that you can get some more content. It's all available. You just got to grab it. And if you have any trouble, go to support@MikeOmaraShow.com for more details. Visit the bonus show tab at MikeOmaraShow.com or ask Rob Mayer this weekend in Winchester. Two shows. And he is in the know. So do that. It was a button, Josh. It was just a button that I had grazed.
Good.
That's how I was able to figure out. Now,
yeah, it's always simple.
It is simple. Thank you for your patience. The presidential debate is tonight. I like this survey. This comes from YouGov. And I want to see, we'll do a quick guessing game here before we get to the flip side.
Right.
And Rob and Josh, you can both play this fun game that's sweeping the nation. This was a survey done asking what they felt about the candidates. If they were to arm wrestle, who would win?
Trump
would win.
Yes, 52% said Trump would win. Who would be more likely to help a stranger?
Biden.
I think everyone's a stranger to Biden.
That was terrific.
He might think it's his relative, it's his wife, his best friend. Might be thinking he's helping his dad, who's no longer with us.
Who would be more likely to return a lost wallet?
Well,
I see, and now again, I'm thinking that it's...
Now they just, it's Biden's wallet.
Yeah.
Okay, who would win at pub trivia? Did not expect it to go this way. Who would win at pub trivia?
Trump would claim that he won without getting a question right, but he'd say it confidently.
Yeah.
What's the capital of Maryland? Baltimore. 1-0.
Trump actually would win, according to America. Mm. Who would do, I like this one, who would do better celebrity impressions? A real website is asking these questions.
We've seen Trump do some impressions.
Yeah.
Yeah, not and they've not advanced his career very well.
No, he's no Jay Farrow.
I want a button that says that. Trump is no Jay Farrow.
Yeah, I said it.
Okay, who do you think would do better impressions of the two?
I think Trump would do better impressions. He seems more off the cuff. He attempts it. That doesn't mean he's better at it, but he'll attempt it.
Josh, you agree?
Yeah, unless it's like a dead guy.
Yeah. You're doing, you're actually all.
We'll do a better Hawk Tua.
Oh, I want, you know what? He hasn't picked a running mate yet.
Right. might need to bring Junior up for that.
Yeah. Who would win a bake-off?
I don't think Trump's ever baked anything in his life. No. I would go
really?
Biden.
Biden, yeah. You're winner, yeah.
Yeah. You got to bring Dr. Jill in, though, for that.
Dr. Jill's famous macaroons? Love it. And then do they do the, what are they called, prop bets? Do they do prop bets for the...
They should.
Yeah, I'll take the long shot on Dr. Biden saying Hawk Tua tonight. That's what I'm hoping for. I'll go with that. All right, parlay. So that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. I can turn a lot of money into some money. We're going to take a break, come back. We will do the flip side. Rob Mayer is with us, and it's been delightful. Rob, thank you for joining us. And we'll be back after this. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike, back tomorrow. Oh, it's summertime, hot time, sweaty time, humid time, Rob Mayer time, thirsty time,
hey.
Rehydration time. Hot weather requires extraordinary hydration, and Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the #1 powdered hydration brand in America. The secret is LIV. That's the secret. Hydra Science. The science-backed formula that's an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients to turn ordinary water into... Oh, look at this. You got the sticks. He's drinking it right now. He's
delicious.
You're enjoying extraordinary hydration with no artificial sweeteners. It's clinically tested to hydrate more than water, and Rob Mayer loves it. Look at the video. It's right there. Tor, pour. Live more. One stick of plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone and can turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. You just use Liquid IV. You get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
Hello.
That's my daughter.
The flip side.
I don't think a good deed counts if you call attention to yourself. I think and Mike has said this before, real heroes are quiet about it. But this guy did something that I would say is moderately nice and then put himself on TikTok because he's so proud of himself. He's got chairs. He's got Adirondack chairs in front of his house. And 2 old ladies are walking the neighborhood and they sit down in his Adirondack chairs. Now, you would think he might scream, "Get off my lawn," or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he does something that's nice. But listen to the way this guy talks.
These 2 older women sat down on my chair, and my chair's outside. So I said, "How can I not serve my 2 outdoor guests some tea?" And I brought them a fruit tea and some honey and helping them enjoy the afternoon.
Judging from the way he talks, he served them tea, then he wore their skin.
There's a little bit of a creepy vibe there. Yeah,
very much a creepy vibe. So watch out, ladies.
How could I not? I don't know.
He puts the lotion on its skin. Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Ever played there?
I've done Altoona, Pennsylvania, which I imagine is the same place.
Yeah, it is. All those Pennsylvania places are the same. Mm-hmm. This is a great story, and it has to do with... I sound like Casey Kasem. And it has to do with a husband and a wife and a life insurance policy. But the way she chose to get her husband is the greatest. It might be the redneckiest murder attempt I've ever heard.
Oh.
And also, I love when a stunning talent is on television because it makes it fun to watch.
Yeah, Paul, authorities haven't laid out a motive for the crime yet, but according to court documents, the victim believes it may have something to do with a life insurance policy.
Uh-oh.
Wow. That's all I can say.
Jackie Sproat owns a gaming shop next door to the spa operated by Michelle Peters.
Of course she
just
does.
Outside of Lebanon.
I just recently found out that she was working next door to me, but that doesn't make a difference. I was just really surprised.
Laclede County deputies arrested Peters Monday.
She's
accused
got look.
Of spiking
she
her
does.
Husband's Mountain Dew with the popular weed killer Roundup.
It is a different.
So she to kill
Real
her
advanced.
Husband
yeah.
and to get the insurance money. It's Mountain Dew spiked with Roundup. So there.
It is a different type of domestic assault.
According to court documents, in May, Peter's husband noticed that his soda had an unusual taste
yes.
and shortly after became ill. The victim became suspicious, causing him to review the video footage taken inside the garage where he kept his 2 liters. Yes. It was then, investigators say, he realized that his wife was adding something to his drink.
Now, I don't use a lot of 2 liters.
No.
That's not my scene.
He's got a whole garage.
Yeah, he does. And well, the good news is after he drank that, I don't know if he ever smoked any marijuana before, but he was 100% weed free.
Hey, you know, women do the most poisoning. That's a very female crunt.
It poisoning. Is. It is. Mm-hmm. And my wife can't cook either.
Hello.
Look at
in,
this.
In our murder mystery, the poison is always, pretty much always the killer. So look out for that.
Oh, wow. You know what that is? Insight. That is inside info. So you can solve and win the fa- Is there a prize if you win the murder mystery?
Yeah, if you get the correct killer and the best team name, you win tickets to a future show.
See?
And with the trivia one, it also has to do with your ability to answer the trivia questions, the most points.
Your night out could pay for itself.
It really could, actually.
Okay, I usually have a pretty good vibe on people that are influencers, so said, mm-hmm. that I would like or that are a-holes. This guy is really throwing the a-hole vibe in every way. He is sailing by himself the entire Pacific Ocean. And this is what he's chosen to do. And this is the way he presents himself.
This is month one, day 31 of sailing across the Pacific Ocean alone. And I lost my sailboat. Just kidding. It's over there.
He was just kidding, Rob.
Nah,
it's funny.
Funny.
I wanted to pause the tape so you could laugh if you wanted.
He'll be headlining with Hot Tour. Yeah.
I thought he'd middle. Anyway,
yes.
let's go back to this.
It's very tiny, very far away. I'm in the doldrums. I'm stuck here in the doldrums. There is no wind. For reference, I'm right about here, about as far away from land as you can be on this planet. So I pumped up my inflatable paddleboard and getting some exercise in.
So he's all about going out and sailing the Pacific by himself. How is it that he has better internet than me?
Got great internet.
How, in the middle
how much
of nowhere.
Food is he catching fish? How's he eating?
I don't know. I mean, he told us where the boat was, but he didn't show the boat. But he's a jerk. I don't like him. I got that jerk vibe from him. I don't wish him ill, but I would say be careful with that 2 liter.
Yeah,
there are a lot of questions about how he got that video out there.
Yeah.
Because if you go on just a cruise ship, you know, you lose service right when you get out to sea.
Yeah.
Does he have a yacht like 30 feet away that just has...
How big is that sailboat that's been?
Yeah.
I don't know. He was vague about it, but you know what? He wants you to love him. He really wants you to love him. So
he also said he's as far as you can get from land, but he's about to go out further based on that map.
I kind of wish he'd go further.
Yeah.
I don't need him back. I'd say enjoy your time. Someone suggested Starlink. Does Starlink work in the ocean?
If you've got a big ship, it's not going to fit on a little sailboat.
Okay. All right. Well, I just, you know what? I think the whole thing's fixed. Don't think it's right. Are you a gamer?
Cricket Wireless. That's the ad.
Are you a gamer, John?
No, I'm not. I play. I have a PS5. I've used it 10 times.
I understand that the people that get on those games, they get... they have addicted. Moods and they argue and all this stuff, but this seems to be over the top. Would you, to settle an argument, actually travel to the home of the person you're gaming against? This guy did.
Incident particularly noteworthy is that it originated from an online altercation. The suspect flew from Newark, New Jersey to Florida apparently to confront the victim in person.
Wait, it gets better.
At approximately 2 a.m. yesterday, our deputies responded to a call at a residence in Fernandina Beach regarding a physical altercation between two individuals. Upon arrival, they discovered a significant amount of blood in the entryway of the home and the victim's bedroom.
Oh.
The victim's stepfather reported being awakened by screams for help.
Yes.
When he went to see what was going on, he found his stepson on the ground, struggling with the attacker who was in possession of a hammer.
So he flew.
He flew. Yeah, stop from- at a hardware store when he got there. Get the
yeah, because you can't bring a hammer on a plane, right?
I tried.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that he got the idea for the attack from playing Donkey Kong. Because it wasn't that. If he's a gamer, that's probably what he did. Everyone's going to be okay, though.
But did he introduce himself? Hi, I'm Starfish 43. Boom. Yeah.
I want to tell you what about a game is. So just be careful. You know what? A friend is just a stranger you haven't met yet. So be friendly when you're online. That's what Rob Mayer says.
I know about that gaming world. I have friends. It does. It gets heated. The trash talk.
Yeah.
But it is.
But are you buying airfare?
Don't give out your home address.
No. Yeah. Well,
I give it out to everybody.
Yeah, that's his username.
Yeah. And a zip code, and also the pin. To make it difficult, I put the pin into my garage. So let's close with this. I like to judge the career of William Shatner by his toupees. Mm. He had some pretty good work going on in the Star Trek days. And if you go back when he was like occasionally popping up on Alfred Hitchcock Presents, might have even been his real hair. But there's this sort of murky middle ground between Star Trek and T.J. Hooker. And I think he was trying to find a look. I know that he never says no to a paycheck, but I didn't think he would do a commercial for a place in Canada, a grocery store called Loblaws. And that is spelled L-O-B-L-A-W-S. And if you're a fan of Arrested Development, you know about the Bob Loblaw Loblog. But this is a real place. But look at the hair on Shatner.
Right now, Loblaws is having a huge frozen food sale.
And also the excitement he brings to the read. He overacts selling frozen food, he does.
Doesn't say no, does he? You're right.
No, he doesn't. And that hair, man. Let's go to the tape once more.
Hey, now, Loblaws is having a huge frozen food sale. You can get tremendous value on over 50 frozen food items, frozen vegetables, frozen meat entrees, frozen concentrated juices, ice cream. If it's frozen, you can save plenty. Don't get left out on the cold. Come on in and stock up that freezer.
Hey.
Loblaw's frozen food sale. Another reason why more than the price is right. Does he work here?
He nails it.
I mean, he does. It's a great read, and he brings a lot of urgency to it. But there is one outtake.
You got to give him that huck to it. Spit on that thing.
I'm sorry. That might have been Spock. I don't know.
Spock Tua?
Yes, Spock Tua. And then, hey, you got to spit on that thing. He is just, and Shatner's like 92 now, still doing the same thing. But that's a
good for him.
That's a great toupee there. That's a Canadian toupee. And that sounds like a sex act.
Ooh, it probably is.
Give her a Canadian toupee. Rob, you are the best. Thank you for sitting in with us today. Really appreciate
it. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, TMOS family. Always a good time to be hanging out with you.
And remember, you can catch Rob at the Bright Box in Winchester, Virginia this Saturday at 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. The Cellar Door, Frederick, Maryland, Saturday at 7 p.m. The Murder Mystery on Old Ox at Old Ox Brewery in Ashburn at that's July 20th. And check out, I didn't ask you about, I'm a bad host. I didn't check ask out, you about your Patreon Fest.
The
Tell
DLP Agenda, our podcast. We have a great Patreon. We have extra episodes of Arch of the DLP Agenda. We have Here's Why You're Wrong. It's a movie recast show with Joe and Katie Robinson. Husband and wife argue. They recast famous movies then and recast them now. We're doing Pulp Fiction on July 11th as a live stream on our YouTube. It's a special Patreon Palooza. We're calling it July 11th. Every episode, every new show, every show we have on our network, which is five shows, there'll be a new episode that day. So just for $5 a month, sign up now. patreon.com/thedlpagenda. And then on July 11th, you're going to get 10 shows. It's going to be an amazing celebration of all our shows. And on our YouTube, a live stream of us recasting Pulp Fiction then and now. That's DLP Agenda on YouTube.
I love it. The DLP Agenda has maybe the best looking set on the internet. Beautiful.
Keep up with you guys.
Love it.
Better than my website. So.
Yeah, go and update the set.
Yeah.
Rob, thank you so much. Thank you, Josh. Mike will be back tomorrow for the bonus show. Make sure you check it out. And I want to actually just take a moment. I also want to thank Aaron and Katie and, of course, Zoolander for sitting in this week. We love giving you guys the extra content, but we can't do it without the assistance of co-hosts, and that's why they are the best. So we'll see you tomorrow for the bonus show, and have a great day, everybody.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
I'm over here now!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.